Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. By the way, coming up on Monday's program, we will have the Republican message guru, Frank Luntz. He's got a new book on how businesses can use language most effectively. We'll also talk about his ongoing focus groups, researching what swing voters hear when politicians talk. Frank Luntz and more Monday here on The Brian Lehrer Show. Right now, it's not just Friday, it's follow-up Friday, where we dig a little deeper into things that came up briefly during the week. And while there's still just under a month to go before Equal Pay Day, this year it falls on April 12th. That's the day which marks how much into the year women had to work in order to earn what men made in 2010. But that calculation becomes more and more difficult to make the more we look at young women in urban areas, according to a guest on our show on Wednesday. Kay Heimowitz, a fellow at the Manhattan Institute and author of Manning Up, How the Rise of Women Has Turned Men into Boys, talked about the gender pay gap shrinking for young women in urban areas, professional women in particular, and we wanted to follow up on what it might mean for young women to be making more and on the state of equal pay. Even the assertion itself by our guest raise lots of listeners' eyebrows. Joining us to try to clarify is Heather Bushy, senior economist at the Center for American Progress. Heather, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here today, Brian.
And let's listen to Kay Heimowitz on Wednesday because she was very specific about the measurement she was looking at.
Women are more educated. They are, by many accounts, according to professors and even some bosses, more ambitious. They are also, this is the most amazing thing, they're earning more than young men. So I'm talking again, let me be careful here, about single, childless women, college-educated women. They're out-earning men in most American cities. So this creates a total change, transformation in the relation between the sexes.
So Kay Heimowitz asserted that single, childless, college-educated women in most American cities are making more than the equivalent men, or making more than most men. And, of course, the eyebrows went up, the comments page lit up, the phones lit up. Can you fact-check that for us?
Well, certainly. I mean, it is the case. There was some research that came out a few months ago now that talked about how comparing men and women who didn't have children, who were 22 to 30 years old, working full time and lived in the largest cities in the United States, not, might I note, whether or not they had college, but everything else, it is true that women are out earning men. But I think that the big issue there is whether or not men and women have differences in college attainment, which, of course, they do. Young women are increasingly outpacing young men in college attendance and completion, just as importantly. And that is a big piece of what's going on here. You got one group of people who's more likely to have a college degree compared to the other, these men. And yes, so that is why you're seeing women out-earning men in some of these earning areas. But let's be clear, that doesn't mean that when you compare apples to apples, you know, a 28-year-old guy with a BA working in a certain kind of industry compared to a woman of the same age in the same industry with the same experience, we continue to see a gender pay gap not in favor of women when you actually compare apples to apples.
Right. So the comparison that Kay Heimowitz was referring to was if you take the entire population of young women and the entire population of young men in New York City, let's say, you will find that more of the women have college degrees and therefore will be making more than all of the men. But that includes all the high school dropouts and everybody else. Right.
Exactly. That is the research I've seen. If she has some other research, I certainly have not seen anything that would lead to the conclusion that she has that it's all just college folks. But you're exactly right there. And I think that, you know, one thing that she points out that is really important is that women are increasingly attending, taking out loans for and completing college more so than young men. And so that is a big part of the earning story. You know, folks who have college degrees degrees do typically earn more, and that has rampant social implications. But that's really the story there.
The standard statistic we usually hear, and I guess this is what the April 12th Women's Equality Day refers to, is that women make around 75 or 78 cents for every dollar that men earn. And that's a very broad calculation. What are we really hearing when we hear that measurement?
Well, that measurement typically compares the 78 cents on the dollar is comparing the median annual earnings of full-time women to full-time men. So, you're not including those folks who are not working full-time. So you're not including all the part-time workers, which women are more likely to be. But you aren't accounting for differences in educational attainment or, importantly, the industries and occupations that men and women work in. So that's just sort of a broad brush stroke. And, of course, that's looking at all age groups.
What about comparing the pay gap question for comparable work?
Well, that's where things don't look as good for women. What we continue to see is that the big difference in the pay of men and women is because men and women tend to be segregated into different kinds of jobs. It tends to be the case that there's sort of masculine occupations and feminine occupations, and that the ones that women tend to go to tend to be paid less. So, and even in highly paid professional occupations like healthcare or something, women tend to be in the lower paying specialties. So you have to get to a very, very fine tuned, very small occupational cells before you start seeing, before you can really compare Granny Smith apples to Granny Smith apples. But overall, it's that occupational segregation that really explains most of the pay gap.
And there are those reverse education gaps between men and women that Kay Heimowitz mentioned. We know that women earn more PhDs than men, and that more women have bachelor's degrees. Does that mean more women either are now or could be expected to in the future get the best jobs?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that, we are seeing women getting more education, and that's fantastic, and they are getting those advanced degrees. But we continue to see gaps in the education pipeline in terms of women getting the degrees that are going to lead to the highest paying jobs. So women are still underrepresented in some of the very hard sciences or the technical degrees that would get them into the highest paid medical or engineering specialties or things like that. So I think that we should be very optimistic that that is what it's going to lead to. But I think we need to remain concerned that because there is so much occupational segregation, that just because a woman has a PhD, if she's got it in a field that isn't going to be as highly paid as another field, we're still not going to solve the gender pay gap problem.
There was a study from the American Association of University Women that attempted to look at very similar workers, same kind of college, grades, jobs, personal choices, and they found that women earn 5% less in the first year out of college than male peers. 10 years later, that gap grows to 12% less. Are you familiar with that study and what it actually drilled down on?
Yes. That is one of the best studies out there that I've seen on this issue. I mean, it really drilled down. I mean, it looked at very comparable workers in terms of marital status, race, number of children, and importantly, the kind of job, the kind of workplace flexibility perks, and the kind of college and what kind of major people studied. So it sort of said, okay, if you got two people who sat next to each other in school and then they went out and they got the same kind of job, what is the gap? And there you continue to see that women are paid less. And, there's a lot of reasons for that, and we can talk about it, but this really is sort of the gold standard in terms of the kind of research that demonstrates that there is this problem.
We're out of time, but maybe the only remaining question to segue to our next segment is, I wonder what percentage of those women will spend some of those hard-earned dollars to get behind the brand-new New York Times paywall. And how that compares to men. But we are going to talk about that next. Just announced yesterday by the New York Times details of how people will have to start paying for online content. Not the first time, but this is their second attempt to make us do that. But I want to thank Heather Bushy from the Center for American Progress for doing a follow-up Friday segment with us on gender and pay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, Times Paywall Details next.